the story, the question asked by Oasis in that song. The question being asked by Carmine Gallo, who's a best-selling author and public speaking guru. His new book is about the secrets of storytelling. I caught with him last week. This is what he had to say.
There is a gentleman in the States who started a very famous coffee company. You may have heard about, named Starbucks.
We're familiar with it.
Howard Schultz is very fond of telling the story. In 1961, his father got hurt on the job. The family had no health insurance, no workers' comp. They found it very difficult to make ends meet. And he promised himself that if he was ever in a position to help others, that that would not happen to his employees. And that is why Starbucks is one of the first companies in America to offer full-time health benefits to part-time workers. In other words, it's the story that underpins his initiatives at Starbucks. And many people, like Howard Schultz, like Richard Branson, who often talks about his background with dyslexia, for example, you find that they are very open about struggles or hardships in their life and how they were transformed by those hardships or their failures. This is one of the reasons why storytelling has such an emotional connection to so many people. And it's something that all leaders need to embrace, because stories inform, they illuminate, they inspire. And for example, TED Talks. So I wrote an entire book just on how to give a TED-style presentation. It's very well known that most of the viral TED Talks, the TED Talks that are the most successful, are based on narrative and story.
And you say Sheryl Sandberg is a classic example of that. There was the TED Talk she was going to give, and then there's the TED Talk that she did give. They were very different, and the impact was very different. Just remind us of that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Sheryl Sandberg is the COO of Facebook, and she launched a movement that is now global called Lean In, which is encouraging women in the workforce. Now, what's interesting about Lean In is that I argue you never would have heard of Lean In had it not been for a TED Talk in which Sheryl Sandberg talked very openly about her own challenges as a working mother. But what's interesting is she recently said, and this is public knowledge, it's on the internet. She recently gave an interview where she talked about the fact that she is a data person. She wants all the data and the facts and the information, the statistics. And yet the original presentations that she was giving on Lean In were not emotional. They were not connecting with people. And a friend of hers pulled her aside and said, Sheryl, you got to open up. You got to be transparent and authentic and start sharing your own personal story. And Sheryl Sandberg said when she did that, that's when she started getting the reaction. And that TED Talk went viral because she shared personal stories. So see, Richard, you asked why storytelling? Because most of the successful presentations, TED Talks, business presentations, it all comes back to narrative. Narrative is everywhere. And if you don't understand it as a business leader or professional, you're going to be left behind. It's a competitive advantage to be a good storyteller.
But let's talk about the very brief three-step, and you call it a formula or a template for a very quick business story. You say there are more complex templates than that. Pixar movies are more complex, but there is a three-step formula. Run us through that, would you, quickly?
Good, and I can tie this back to Steve Jobs. Every successful hit movie has a three-part formula. Screenwriters know this. They've known this for generations, okay? The three parts formula is act one has to be the setup. That's where you get to know the characters of the movie. Act two is the conflict. That's when Titanic hits the iceberg. Enter act two. And act three is the resolution. How does the hero get out of this, and how is the hero's life transformed? Act one, two, and three. Well, when I analyze Steve Jobs' greatest presentations, for example, they did follow remarkably similar to a three-act structure. So instead of just coming out and introducing a new product like the iPhone or iTunes, for example, he actually spent some time explaining the status quo. Here is the current smartphones today, or here is how you get your music today. And it all seems very lovely until there's a problem, and that enters Act Two, where he was very clear at explaining the problem that you have. And the brilliance of Steve Jobs was he was able to get us to recognize problems we didn't even know we had. That was how brilliant he was. But that's Act Two, and Act Three is the hero, which is the product or the service that he was introducing. So if you can simply pitch your next sales pitch, a product or a service, using three parts, talk about the way your client's world is today, and then get into the problem that they're having, and then follow it up with the product as the solution, that is an irresistible three-part narrative. It works for movies. It'll work for your sales pitch.
Talking of Steve Jobs, the presentation of Steve Jobs is one of your standout books. And from that, one of the key takeaways I took, and I've been looking forward to asking you to explain this to me, is the Twitter-friendly headline, or this idea of having one key message and one and only one very simple message and building everything around that. Talk to me how that worked for Steve, and talk to me how important that is and how we can apply that in everyday presentations about, I don't know, third quarter sales or a new HR bonus strategy.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite techniques. I learned this from a molecular biologist named John Medina, who once told me that the way the brain processes information, it needs to see the big picture before details. And I realized that Steve Jobs did this brilliantly. Steve Jobs always had a one-sentence description for every product, and it was brilliant. It just perfectly summarized the product. So in 2008, when he introduced the first MacBook Air, he said, it's the world's thinnest notebook. In one sentence, it's the world's thinnest notebook. Apple does that today, Richard. If you go down any product category, they will always describe their product in one sentence. And every sentence easily fit within 140 characters of Twitter. I'm not suggesting Steve Jobs thought about Twitter, but the point is, it's a good exercise. If you have one thing that you want to deliver about your product or your service, what is it, and can you get it into 140 characters? I've actually talked to a billionaire venture capitalist out here named Michael Moritz. He's the first person to, one of the first people to invest in Google. And he told me that the Google guys walked into his office, and in one sentence, he got it immediately. And they said something along the lines of, Google makes the world's information accessible in one click. And he got it immediately. He understood the big picture. And if you walk into Sequoia Capital today as an entrepreneur, they will ask you to describe your product or service in one sentence of 10 words or less. So again, I think that people want to hear their information in this way, Richard. You have to be able to tell me the big picture, give me the big picture behind your product or service in one sentence or less.
Let's talk about business. Who are some of the best speakers in the world today, in your opinion? Who's really getting it right, and what can we learn from them?
I am biased because I'm still trying to find somebody who connects with people in a way that Steve Jobs did. So I'm a little biased when it comes to that. But I like people who are very authentic, who are having a lot of fun with what they do. I love listening to Richard Branson because he is just so open and transparent and fun. I think he's extraordinary. But he doesn't really give a lot of presentations per se. You know, it's just in the way his conversations. I love listening and interviewing him. I think you mentioned Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook. She gave a beautiful commencement speech at Berkeley. She's a marvelous speaker. And Mark Zuckerberg is giving wonderful presentations now. Mark Benioff, Salesforce founder, is a wonderful keynote presenter as well. So I think that there are definitely people out there who have elements of being good speakers in one way or another in terms of business. But boy, I got to tell you, Richard, it's very hard for me to find that one person who had the entire package like a Steve Jobs, someone who can deliver these presentations that were just beautifully designed and stunning and had passion and was able to talk without notes. How many business presentations do you watch, Richard, where they're speaking from notes or from a script and it just looks so stiff and boring and dull? Whereas Steve Jobs had that passion, you know, and that's why I like Richard Branson, because at least he's got passion and he brings fun and vitality and energy. And that's hard to find.